not Democritus. We are from Cardiff. And this next one is called Date Without Dying. Get your fucking hands in the air!
I say Crocio and Nostato Northern Metal Radio.
Hello.
Hello.
Nostwifa, which is good evening, yeah. I think. I mean, yeah. I'm in a school. I really should know this stuff.
I blame that on Cat and Lynx.
Yeah, definitely blame those two.
Yeah. I love those girls.
They're great fun. They're an asset to my station as well.
Yeah. Well, so it's their fault that I stumbled over your music. So I blame them for that.
Yeah, apologies.
But I have listened to the gig that you did at the festival.
At Bloodstock.
Yeah, that's a new festival for me. I haven't heard about it before. Is it a local festival or...?
It's definitely one of the UK's biggest, UK's biggest independent metal festival. It was set up in 2001 as an indoor festival.
My hometown.
In Derby, the Assembly Rooms, wasn't it, Rich?
Yeah, indoor festival for 3 years and then it went outdoors.
Okay.
So it's gradually built up from 2001, but it's kept a lot because it's run by a family. I can't think of his first name now. Paul Gregory. He's famous for artwork that he's done for Saxon and numerous other bands. He did, say, like the Crusader artwork for Saxon. So he's made his living off that, doing that kind of stuff for bands. Initially roped them in for like this one day indoor festival in 2001. And from there, it's gradually built up. It's now, I think next year is set to be a 5-day festival.
Oh, nice.
But yeah, we played the 2018 edition of that. After they've set up it's an international battle of the bands called Metal to the Masses.
Yeah, you won that.
We won the South Wales version of that.
2018.
In 2018, which then earned us our slot at Bloodstock.
And that was where it kicked off for you guys.
Things have been building up from there prior. We've been a band since early 2015. And we'd kind of been gigging. The Metal to the Masses was actually our second final. We'd got to the final on the previous year and lost out. But we decided that we were going to try it again the following year. And thankfully, we roped in all our friends for a second round of favours to come out and support us, and it worked.
So. Yeah, because that was the thing. Like, if we did lose, like, we kind of swore to ourselves that we weren't going to attend any more Battle of the Bands.
I hate them. I loathe them with a vengeance. I really dislike Battle of the Bands.
It does bring out the worst in people, doesn't it?
Yeah, I don't do well under the process. Metal to the Masses was always the exception in terms of the chances you have to network with people that are involved at Bloodstock alongside the other bands that you get to play with. A lot of the regions that do Metal to the Masses have guest slots for different bands from that are, say, previously won different areas. Yeah. So it was always a case of, it was worth it for the networking opportunities, but I don't do well under the processes. And in fact, the last three finals I've been to, I was ill through all of them. I come down with a massive cold in the 1 year that we lost. The year that we won, I was suffering with a blood infection.
Oh yeah, I remember. That's from your toe, wasn't it?
Yeah, and then last year, as we played the final as guest headliners, because obviously we were the previous year's winners, I had come down with a massive cold again that weekend. Bloodstock, Metal to the Masses has never been kind to me.
Oh, I mean, you won.
Yeah.
Yeah. But in terms of, it's not been good for my health.
No. It's a consolation prize, then.
Also, like, after we were in the final of the 2017 one, our kind of, like, first, I'd say, your big gig as a band came when we got the chance to open for Suffocation in Bristol. And that was honestly absolutely amazing. Like, we're all, like, fans of, you know, that kind of death metal. And to have one of, you know, the bands that kind of were there at the very start of it, Suffocation, like, to be playing with them was absolutely incredible. Yeah, it was incredible. But from then, you know, we've gone on and we've had more and more shows and building up a following, and it's just, you know, it's been really good. We've done some awesome shows, and we've had great fun doing it and met some really cool people. I think one of the most, like, startling things for me was just before, I think it was just before Bloodstock, Steve sent the group chat a photo of a tattoo of the Democritus logo. And we were like, oh, Steve, did you get the Democritus logo tattooed? And he said, no. It's one of our fans sent us, this guy called Callum. Yeah, and I was just blown away that someone would have our logo tattooed on them. That was kind of...
It was even weirder because at that point he hadn't even seen us live. Because he lives up in the north of England, he didn't actually see us live until our Bloodstock set. So I had forewarned him, we could have been absolute shite.
What, so,
Yeah, things like that have absolutely blown us away. We try not to take anything for granted. You know, we're never going to be a band that are going to kind of make a permanent livable career off this. So what all five of us in the band are looking to do with it is just see where it takes us. And we're all on the same page with that. So
that's kind of a nice approach, I think.
Yeah. Like we're all working towards the same thing. I mean, it would be great if we could make it our careers, but we're also quite realistic in the fact that, yeah, we've just got to take each gig as it comes and take every opportunity and just keep doing what we do.
Mm. Like, even if it just turns into a self-funding thing and we still do own 9-to-5 jobs, I think we'll be happy with that.
Which I think we're close enough to that, to be honest. We're
pretty much.
We're wiping our nose with gigs and certainly merch stuff and that. We've got our core fan base that are really, really supportive in terms of helping us out with getting stuff sorted. Mm. And we do everything in-house in terms of all the recording and stuff like that. We're thankful that both Zach and Rich have recording facilities in their house. And then with the merch stuff as well, we've done it all ourselves in terms of for Bloodstock, for example, we set up a pre-order of an exclusive design for Bloodstock. And we ended up selling 50 T-shirts. And that was based on people trusting us to forward us their money so we could then go get the merch printed out. We've kept it all in-house. And I think people quite like the fact that we're approachable in that respect.
Yeah, but that's nice. I think a lot of bands actually do things like that. It's very common in Sweden as well to do stuff like that. So I have listened to quite much of your music. I don't think I have had time to cover everything, but I really like the lyrics, and I think you have an important message in your lyrics. It's very human-based, and it's a political message as well that I think a lot of people can relate on. So can you tell us a little bit about your lyrics?
I suppose that'll be down to me to take them, boys.
I assume so.
Right now, yes.
basically, it was a case of... when Democritus started, I'm bringing up the name itself, was at an accident that just went really nicely right. We were discussing back in the early days of what we were going to call ourselves. Okay. And I just turned around at the time and said, well, we all need to decide and agree we're a democracy, not a dictatorship. And our guitarist at the time, because we've had a few lineup changes, but our guitarist at the time turned around and said, well, what about Democritus? And we all looked at him and just went, woo. Yeah. So I then did a bit of homework on that. And it turned out Democritus is one of the Greek philosophers who was integral to how we set up and see democracy done today. Mm. In terms of the political lyric side, you're right on the personal side of things. I get affected a lot by politics today. I'm a carer to my partner, so we're affected by what our income is and stuff like that. So I've seen our income squeezed and kind of cuts that we've had to services that my wife needs and stuff like that. So the band has become my lyrical chance to vent everything that makes me angry. It's pure catharsis to get out everything that irritates and annoys the hell out of me on a political kind of platform. It's not to say that everything I write is political. That some of the lyrics along the more personal kind of what goes on in my head on a daily basis. And then what kind of death metal band would we be if we didn't write about the odd occasional serial killer? So that's where like Bind, Torture, Kill comes in and covers that. But largely I tend to lean towards the more political side of things just because that's what inspires me. And once I've had a writing session where I get to bang out what I think's wrong with the planet today, I feel better for it.
Thank you.
So when it comes to the music, is it you as well that write all the music, or are you doing that as a group?
That's far more as a group. Zach writes a lot of our guitar riffs, despite being the drummer. It's a sad state of affairs when the two best guitarists in the band are the drummer and the bass player, but there we go.
Yeah.
I've only started learning guitar through lockdown. I'm about 3 weeks away from being a better guitarist than Joey.
But
writing has been an interesting one for me, especially because like I only just recently joined the band. And yeah. I don't really have a background in melodic death metal. I have a much stronger background in thrash metal. So trying to adopt that into a style that's going to work for everyone has been interesting. But yeah, we've got some killer riffs out of the new stuff, especially simply because there's such a diverse group of people working on it.
Yeah. In terms of the writing as well, it's all very much... We're turning out a lot of material at the moment, and we're trying to work on an album, so we're going to be writing as much as we can, and then we'll be going through that and trying to whittle it down to the very best songs and try and get something that we're all really proud of.
And it's a huge mix. I mean, Spoon, our bassist that's not in on the chat today, his kind of thing is much more groove orientated.
You can tell if anything like Spoon's wrote is usually in like a 6/8 feel.
Yeah. Okay. He's got his groove orientated metal stuff. Zach comes in with some of the more straight up death metal and some metalcore influences as well. I think that's fair to say, Zach.
Yeah, well, I don't really intend to because, like, I said to Steve before, it's like metalcore and melodeath kind of have like a fine line. Because they do share like the same characteristics and sound. It's just like one few traits that makes it different.
And then you've got Rich that comes in with
fast power chords.
Yeah, but he comes in with the more thrashy bass stuff, which again kind of it links in quite nicely with some of the more straight up, hard, fast death metal songs that we've got as well.
Yeah.
So all in all, we all contribute. Joey was a bit slower.
I was a terrible guitarist 3 years ago. I went from being a really bad guitarist to a just bad guitarist, and then I went from being a bad guitarist to an okay guitarist, and I think I'm somewhere now at the okay bit still. No, I come up with some riffs. So there's a couple of songs that I've worked on with the other guys now where the main riff is based around something I've written and they've kind of helped flesh it out with something more. So, it's all like Zach, say, will come to us with a song and we'll be like, well, that's good. But, you know, I've got this bit here that could work for the middle eight, or I'm not too sure the chorus. What about this? So it's very much we're all soundboarding off each other.
Yeah, and I usually go back into my private jet and think about it.
that's my favourite bit with Zach, actually, is being in the studio and working with him. No, not being on jet, no. That's my least favourite bit. But
yeah, he doesn't like heights because he's short.
Oh, Zach, the feels. especially when we've been working on the stuff for the new album and things like that, and I've had Zach in the studio, and you kind of have to sit him down and go, okay, Zach, I'm going to explain to you all the reasons why your riff is bad, and then we're going to fix it. it's not quite that bad, but it's just like, oh, I think it would be better if it has this heavier section on it, or this lighter section, or you know, this is where I want to do my solo, that sort of thing. And Zach, to his credit, is actually very good at hearing that out and not just going like, oh, well, it's my song and I wrote it, so
he contacts my agent first, and then
that's also coming in on the lyrical aspect as well, that you boys have been chucking ideas at me for lyrics as well. Straight across the board musically, it is a bit of
a melting pot.
It's a collaborative effort.
But that's good. I must say, you have a really great voice, Steve, when you sing, and really huge, because you can go from the clear parts to the growl parts, and I think that's not so many that can do that.
I find it tricky to kind of how to respond to that kind of thing, because there's no set way that I do what I do. I've just kind of built on it from, I've had it drummed into me from, say, 6 years old that I could hold a note. So okay. As a kid, I was always the one picked to do the school solos and Christmas plays and stuff like that. But then when my voice broke as a teenager, I stopped singing until I turned about 16, started going out to the pubs and clubs as you do, underage drinking and stuff. I'd get up on karaoke and belt out a couple of like more poppy numbers, and I could hold a note. From there then, because I didn't get into rock and metal till I was like 19 or 20. But from there then, I decided that I wanted to be in a band. And just growing into all my influences from like Killswitch Engage is my top tier band, my top influence. Right. Through to bands like Judas Priest, Iron Maiden, but then bringing in the death metal side of things as well. So bands like Decapitated or Soilwork, At the Gates, things like that. If you'd have asked me to do the kind of vocals that I'm doing now, if you'd have asked me 10 years ago to do it, I wouldn't have been able to do it. It's been a gradual process that I've kind of found what I can do and slowly work it in to the point where I can do it somewhat comfortably. It's still a work in progress. There's always things I'm looking to improve, whether that be my vocal range, whether that be my growls and screams and stuff like that. But if people are liking what I'm doing, then I'm cool with that.
Yeah. And just note on the side of that, since the video you saw of us at Bloodstock, and since the first like two EPs, we've actually, our bassist is now doing some backing vocals as well. So we've added an extra layer of like harmonies there in terms of the growlier stuff, and it is sounding pretty good.
So what is your future plans for the band now? It's a pandemic going on, and have you missed a lot of gigs and things like that?
Yeah, this year's been an absolute bitch, to be fair, in terms of we had plans to gig hard through the summer and kind of concentrate on songwriting in between that. Mm. Obviously, everything was put on lockdown. We're currently on lockdown in Wales now.
We can't even meet up to practice.
Yeah.
That's been like a good like few month, like a month now, hasn't it?
Since September, they put. They put Caerphilly in lockdown like the first week of September.
Yeah.
And then Newport went in like the week after. So it's nearly been 2 months now since we've been able to even meet up to practice. So, yeah, it's kind of frustrating. Have gigs and everything been allowed to continue in Sweden, or has that just been like a big no for you guys as well?
Yeah, it's a big no, and you can have 50 persons at a gig. So
we don't even get that. We don't even get the gig.
Yeah.
Sweden have never had the big lockdown. We got the restrictions, but not the total lockdown.
But it's simply a case of the future plans as of now. Thankfully, we're in a digital age, so the boys are sending over ideas they've recorded through the PCs, etc. So we're still chucking ideas over. I can roughly record vocals to give the boys an idea on what I'm going to sound like. So in terms of that, at the moment, all we can do is just chuck ideas over for the new songs for the album. Once we are allowed to gig again, by God, we're going to try and hit it as hard as we always do. We were born on the live circuit. You know, when I got the band going in late 2014, I literally gave us 4 months between our first practice and getting our first gig. So it's simply a case of between that time I was like, right, we'll work on 5 songs. 5 is the magic number. As soon as we've got 5 songs, we'll rehearse the shit out of them. I've always said the best way to kind of learn your craft is to get out live, whether you make mistakes or do your bollock ups and stuff like that. It doesn't matter. If you're doing them live, you're getting your noise out there, and hopefully people are like you along the way.
To be fair, when I first joined the band, because I'm obviously like the newest member of the band at the moment. That was kind of the same story for me, because you gave me literally 2 weeks notice of going, hey, can you learn these? I know you've listened to the Bloodstock show, but no one knows that show better than me, because I was there and I've listened to it day in, day out for 2 weeks nonstop. I know every single note of that show.
I think we gave you like 3 rehearsals in 2 weeks,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah, 3 rehearsals, 2 weeks, and then have fun live.
Yeah, and then we went to Brighton.
Yeah, how that came about was, I used to work on a dairy farm and my old boss refused to give me the day off to go do the gig, even though the gig had been booked for longer than I was working there, and he was just being a right dickhead. So I asked Rich if he could possibly cover for me, and he did a fantastic job by all accounts. I wasn't there.
Job, actually.
And then...
yeah, Joe didn't drive, like...
Yeah. And so, then the guitarist, Karen, a couple of months later, like he couldn't do some gigs because of his work. So again, we got Rich in, and eventually Karen said, it's not really for me, guys. I've got too much commitment with my job. So, yeah, you know, I'm stepping down. And so there was only one person we could ask. Well, and that was Alex Leho, but so he said no. Fine. So instead we asked Rich.
Yeah. So there will be a new album out next year, or?
Well, no There's time no frame set, on it.
Yeah, no set
We're enjoying
date
having
at the moment.
Time to write, essentially. We're in a weird situation right now where, you know, because there's a whole global pandemic and everything going on, we actually have time to sit down and write music.
Yeah.
and we don't have anything to write about because nothing's happening. So.
Yeah, and due to lockdowns as well, we can't really put like a specific time frame on it anyway. Yeah. So,
yeah, we don't know what's happening with the virus. We don't know whether, you know, if we book studio time now, whether we'll even be able to do that. We don't know. Yeah, we just don't know what's going on, essentially.
Yeah, we don't even know when we can practice next. It's like,
yeah,
it's that vague.
It's one of those things where it'll be ready when it's ready, and we'll release it before it's ready.
Yeah. As it stands, we're about 8 songs into writing.
9.
No, okay, 9. Thank you, Zach.
Yeah, sorry.
All right. 9 songs into writing. We want to get up to at least 15 and then kind of whittle down anything that we might think is filler so we can have an entire 10 or 11 track album worth of absolute killer.
That sounds fantastic, and I hopefully will be in Cardiff probably next year, and hopefully you have a gig that I can
hopefully
come to them.
I've already said me and the missus will take you on a guided tour.
I appreciate it very much. And I must say, I was a bit confused by your name when it came up on Facebook as it said Moomin. And I was thinking, what? Is that the real name? Or
It's sadly not. The missus genuinely wants to change it by default so that we're Moomin Jenkins. But no, it's literally just our pet names for each other. It's as soppy as that.
I think it's kind of sweet. And I was a little bit surprised that the Moomin was so huge.
Oh, no, it is huge over here. There's a proper Moomin shop in London.
Okay.
That sells all sorts of gift stuff, Moomin assorted gift stuff and that. Yeah, the Moomins were definitely popular over here.
And then is that merch distributor called Moomin Merch as well?
I'd mentioned Dave. Dave very often gets called me. So people come up to him and say, hey, Steve. And Dave is like, I'm not Steve, I'm Dave. But you're Moomin Merch, aren't you? That's Steve. Yeah, it's a different thing.
Because that's the stuff that I grew up with and my kids were watching it.
One of the first things I learned on guitar was how to make the Moomin noises.
That's your average solo, isn't it, Rich?
Yeah, exactly. You know, you hired me as a lead guitarist because, frankly, there's no better options.
Yeah, otherwise you have to get another drummer.
Yeah, exactly.
You must go to Finland and have a gig at the Moomin Park.
That'd be amazing.
Definitely. That would be so much fun.
we would love to be able to get across to Europe to play some shows. Like, that would be like dream come true for us, able to go abroad and play and just have people hear us and meet new people. So that's definitely on one of the things we're really keen to try and do in the next few years.
Do you have anything special that you want to tell our listeners, something special that is you?
Just thank you for taking the time out to listen to us. I think it's just a case of if you like us, thank you for staying with us. If you don't like us, thank you for your time. We're truly grateful for any opportunity that we get to kind of plug our noise. As long as that keeps happening, we'll keep making noise.
Oh, nice. I must say, Funeral for a Friend is one of my favorites of your songs.
Nice. Same.
Yeah.
It's a really strong one. So we're definitely going to continue to play your music on our radio channel, and hopefully we meet in the future.
Excellent.
Look forward to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bye, guys, and thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for your time as well. Have a wicked evening.
Thank you. Yeah, have a great evening.